up, everybody? This is Raquel Samuel, and I'm the host of Brooklyn and Sarasop, where we talk about what it means to be a first and second generation West Indian American growing up in Brooklyn, and particularly just all over the United States. On this episode, we're going to be talking about sort of a continuation of the first episode, where we got into family relationships and the troubling dynamics that exist once you are American, born here, and growing up with a West Indian parent. And today, I actually have some special guests. My first guest is my auntie, Mrs. Shauna Spencer Lord.
Hey, everyone. Put some respect on my name. Oh,
that's what I was doing.
You did.
Okay.
Hi, everyone.
And my other guest, who you might be familiar with, she is coming back on the podcast for episode number 2, Miss Jerry Knott.
Hey.
I'm trying to say the doctor.
Not the doctor yet.
But no, you're the doctor.
He is the doctor.
Manifested.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
Knott.
I will manifest that. Yes.
Yes, yes, yes.
Hallelujah.
So I wanted to actually start off this episode with some fun. So what are some things, some sayings, some West Indian sayings that you heard growing up in the household?
Well, for me, one that I always heard and probably still hear is, you's a big woman now. You know, and that's like, I think, universal in like every West Indian household with daughters, you know,
at some point,
who have daughters. And it's like, I feel like sometimes you're not even trying to be a big woman. You just like, you know, especially in the teenage years. That's the big struggle.
That's when you hear it.
And I used to get so angry because it's not that I'm trying to portray being grown or anything. It's just like, once again, the whole culture shift and them not understanding us in a sense. So it was frustrating.
Yeah. I remember my mom being like, you know, two women can't be in the kitchen at the same time.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was just, I was like, okay, I'll get out the way.
That's similar to one I used to always hear. Well, like, not in my house, but like, I heard it before, like, 5 men can't cook 1 soup. And I'm like, wow, okay.
Five men can't cook 1 soup.
Yeah, it's a lot, you know, but.
What about you, Jerry?
So one that I always heard is, misun ka man, which means, that's not true.
Like, right.
It's not anytime soon. It's like
clearly
2 hours, 3 hours later.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what you tell somebody when they ask you when you come in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Don't
hold
soon
your
come,
breath.
Man. No. It's not soon.
I come in just now.
I come in just now.
Like what?
When it's just now.
Meanwhile, I'm taking a shower. Like, it's too much.
I haven't even showered yet. Like, just now.
At that point, you're just like, never mind.
Mm-hmm. Never mind. Forget it.
Yep.
Just stay where you are.
Oh,
something I used to hear when I was a kid, and you remember this, auntie, your father is a glass maker.
Oh, and she still says that, but.
And so what does that one mean, because I haven't heard that one.
So basically, when I was a kid, I was very annoying. This is something that kids
she's like, yes,
like toddlers, maybe around up until you're like 5 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes like kids just stand in front of the television
screen. I used to do that all the time.
And no matter how much you tell them, like, you're going to lose your eyesight, like, your eyes are going to go bad. You know, we just...
There's just something fascinating about it.
We feel like we can get into the TV screen. And in order to do that, we have to stand as close as possible. And it doesn't matter, like, there's other people in the room. And so my other aunt, she would say that. And I think she still does.
Yeah, she does.
So it's like, your father is not a glass maker. Like, I can't see through you.
Right.
So move.
Like, they just get so deep with this, like, jeez.
Wow.
Yes. Like, and when someone says that to you, like, you're shook after that. You're like, oh, okay.
Wait. Sorry.
Calm down. You could just ask me to move.
Right. Okay. Whatever happens, please. Like.
And what's a father?
Right. Yeah.
I think the word is father.
Father.
But, yeah.
You so put your tongue between your teeth and you say it's father.
You're a mess. Another one that I remember too, it's like so crazy because it's pretty much you're already crying because you got like disciplined or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and you're going through whatever you're going through, you know, being emotional. And it's like, You want something to cry for? You want to laugh? I'm like, meanwhile, you already tore me apart 5 minutes ago. And it's like, how do you just like, I'm already emotionally unstable. And you still want to beat me more?
More? It's, why? Right.
It's a lot.
Wicked.
Yeah. Real wicked.
I'm so sorry.
Like, you just gave me something to cry about.
I'm scarred.
You're still scarred.
Yeah. I'm counseling, but.
Poor you.
Yeah. But that was another hilarious one. I'm like, yes. What more are you going to do to me?
You already damaged me.
You mutilated me. And it's like.
And it's like, yo, like, I can't stop crying. Yeah. Right? Like, I'm hurt.
See, like.
You stop biting your leg.
Yeah. To not get it out. So you're here catching an asthma attack, trying to let the air come out. Yeah, the struggle.
Meanwhile, they're still chasing you.
Yeah. With a shoe or whatever's in their hand or close by. It's...
Or the belt.
Right.
Or a broom.
Well, the belt was actually, you know, I prefer that compared to normal. It's like, oh my God. If ACS only knew back then.
Oh, God.
But it's the reality of it. It's just it's a culture true. Thing. And, you know.
Yeah. You get licks.
Yeah. Lock the door.
So I think another one for me is you want a chubby.
Because
I used to drink chubby all the time. And the red one was my favorite.
What happened to those?
Can you can you go into what is a chubby?
So a chubby is a carbonated drink, kind of like a soda.
Look at you, carbonated. Doctor using big words. It's a carbonated drink.
I'm like, it's a
drink.
Soda, but.
It's a soda. That's a soda drink. That's a cherry drink.
Drink. Carbonated.
She said
high fructose.
That's what they teach you at NYU, right? Okay.
Polysorbit 80.
I'm weak.
Go ahead, girl.
But it comes in different flavors. It looks chubby. It's like in a short little chubby bottle.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it had like a little chubby kid on it.
I think so.
It did. With its belly hanging out.
With the belly hanging out. Mm-hmm. But they tasted really good. They had like pineapple and cherry and strawberry. I think they had a sorrel flavored one.
They did.
That was my favorite one.
Mine too.
Yes.
It's so funny you bring that up because this morning my husband and I were talking about that. We were talking about when I was in college.
Mm-hmm.
And like even the culture shock there, like out of my whole like female clique, it was like, I want to say three of us who came from, you know, West Indian descent.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, every time, like little things like this, like on Fridays, we're used to cleaning on Fridays, or Saturday mornings.
Mm-hmm.
So every Friday after my last class around noon or one, I would go back to the dorm and I'm just taking everything out. And you know, like just like drawing everything out, getting my little, my Dettol and my, it was so, they couldn't understand it. And they're like, why do you do this every Friday? I'm like, because this is what I do
it's
at
like,
home.
It's like, y'all don't clean?
Yeah, like, you know?
Wow.
And it's like, but they like one friend in particular, like she came down, I'm like, why are you doing this every week? I'm like, this is my norm.
That's
and like,
thing.
It was so weird because my other two friends who at the time were on the same floor with me and they came from the same West Indian descent, they would do the same thing. So every Friday it was like Groundhog Day. We're doing the same thing. And it's like, we didn't realize, oh, we're the only like
one's
coconuts here. So, you know, but if that shows you, because at a young age, every Saturday morning at 7 a.m., you remember, we had to get up and you're hearing the David Levy playing and you're
saying
five cents, ten cents. Yeah. And you're
playing,
you know, the Windex and scrubbing the tub and the stove. It was, you know,
changing curtains.
Don't let
change the sheets.
Christmas time, everything.
Oh, changing
everything.
Curtains.
The whole house turning around.
Yes.
Everything.
You changing positions of sofas.
Yes.
You
my
putting
mother,
the doilies
wait, wait, wait,
on.
Wait.
First of all,
doilies.
Remember doilies? I used
but
to hate
also,
those things.
Also, remember the plastic
on
oh,
the couch.
Yes.
So you dare not. No one cares if it's 101 outside.
Listen, no,
gonna
you
burn
sit on that
up.
Plastic couch.
Oh gosh.
Forever.
Oh, I think I also think the black, the plastic on the couch is a black culture thing too.
I think
I feel
so
like
too.
Black
yeah.
Americans.
It is.
Like,
yeah.
That's a black thing.
But a plastic on the dining room table too, and then
yes!
the doily on top of
Yo!
That.
With the old time statues and
yes.
all kind of, you already know.
Yes.
To this day,
yes.
I hate doilies to this day.
Me too.
Got you triggered.
Yeah, like when I'm like, oh my God, like why does she
doily?
Doily.
Doilies are everywhere.
Everywhere.
It's like
they
a horror movie.
Remember the dove ones? They have like
Yes.
They would have like doves and I'm like flamingos and stuff. And I'm like, what are you doing?
Yes.
You know,
yes.
So it's like, yeah. That's why I'm like, this is why I just went modern when I got my own place. I'm like, I don't want to see a doily.
I don't
want to
see
one
there's
the other
no
day.
Doilies in your house.
No.
She's
why,
no.
What, there
for
a
life.
Doily?
No.
There, those things are so ugly to me. Like, what? Who made this?
Who made this?
But
know.
Yeah.
You could definitely find doilies and bobbies still.
I need Bobby's them to apartment. Not sell
my
that.
Mom used to crochet them.
Oh my God.
Wait, how?
they make them, I have.
They make, yeah.
That's how they really,
that's
you know,
how she made all her doilies. She used to crochet them.
So your mama had handmade doilies?
Customized, okay? You better get it together.
Did she have different colors?
No, she did.
She did mostly like red. She did red and white mostly.
Yep. See, red, universal
burgundy and white. Yeah.
Burgundy and white. Oh God.
She put them on the table, man. On the couch, mm-hmm. on the top of the couch, just like it's a
mm-hmm. everywhere.
Just everywhere.
She was lit for Christmas.
She was. She sure yeah. was
lit.
She sure was.
Rip, rip. Doily lit.
But you're not gonna make the whole song. But it, and it's like a competition, like between yes. houses, like, yeah, you know.
Oh, yes.
Wow.
And I buy my yeah. purse and then put it yes. in. I'm like, Mom.
Don't you don't need to tell really everybody.
It's a damn. Right?
Or even like if you go, again, like if you go into like Bobby's department store, that's usually where mm-hmm. most people get there.
That's the West Indian Macy's. So, yeah.
That's truly. Oh, my God. Can that be their tagline?
Yeah.
I like the West Indian
Macy's. You might as well.
Because it really, it truly is. Like, and I just like. All of the time you go in there, there's always someone in there like, this nice, eh?
Asking like, your opinion and
you like this
right.
one? Man.
I don't like, know. Lady, I came here for some cups. Could you leave me alone? Right? But Bobby's is lit.
I don't know what don't your know. House looks like, so I can't give you yeah. any advice. I'm sorry.
How about they like this one? That one nice, right?
Yeah, that one real nice. Real
then
nice.
Just buy it. Like, leave me alone. But no, yeah. It's yeah.
Yeah. All right. You got another one, Jerry?
How do you pronounce plantain? Plantain? Plantain?
Plantain?
I would like some plantain.
Can I have some plantain?
Yo, that makes me cringe.
Oh my God. Can I have some plantain?
I think I was at Suede. Was it Suede? Or one of them. I'm always in a happy hour, but I was in Suede and I was like, is you know, loopy as I was becoming. I heard somebody say that. I'm turned around like, just say plantain. Like, I think it's too much effort to do
wait,
all
how
that.
Did she say it?
She's like, can I have the shrimp and plantain? Exactly how you said it. Plantains. Yeah. And I'm like,
she put too much emphasis on the
Ames. Just say plantains. Yeah. Ames. Like, bitch, just say plantains. Like, you just
say have some plantains.
Right. Oh, God. You know what I hate and to this day makes me cringe?
Which one?
Roadie.
Oh, stop Ooh. It.
If you want to get me upset, like, or go into Ali's and one of them, and let me hear roadie. And I cringe. Like,
that just, like, makes me want to vomit.
The level, the level of disrespect.
Can I have a roadie? Like,
what is a roadie?
A rodeo? Like, what are you saying?
Yeah, like, one day, I was actually years ago. It's one of my friends, and we were in the Ali's, the one on Utica at the time. This is a long time ago. And a girl came in and said that, like, kind of rowdy. And he was like, and my homeboy was rusted. He was like, it's Rotigia. And I'm like, you need to come. He was so upset.
Yes.
And I'm like, yeah, because it's like, just say it.
Where was he?
He was like, not having it.
Perfect Trini accent.
Yes.
He was not having it. He was not having it. And I'm like, yo.
Wait, no. What did she say?
She was just like baffled, like, okay. Next time I'll know. It was so hilarious. I'm like, you're gonna get us locked up. Like, why did you do it? Like, he was so it's roti. And I'm like, they're there.
Pipe down.
Take a
breath. No, that
in itself. No, that's
upsetting. That's disrespectful. And I feel like what's going to happen, I don't know if it's happened already, but if I ever see some sort of like gluten-free roti skin.
No, it's coming. You know it's coming.
Or some whole wheat bran roti skin. Like that is a whole level of like,
that's coming,
leave it alone.
That's disrespect. I feel like,
you think they're going to gentrify roti?
Why not?
They gentrify everything
else. Yeah. Don't be surprised. They always find a loophole or something to make it theirs in some kind
that's
of way.
True.
You know, so
they don't know nothing about
ours.
It. They don't know nothing about it.
Yeah.
That's a whole other conversation.
Girl, that's a whole other episode. Right. We're gonna get into that.
Mm-mm. Wait, there's one more I wanted to do though.
Go
I really
it.
Need this answer.
Do it.
Milo or Ovaltine?
Milo for me.
Yeah, I grew up on Milo.
Really?
Like, Ovaltine was like, you get it if Milo was done and you went to the store.
Yeah,
all
yeah.
But like, Milo, to my son.
Do you want to explain what these lovely drinks are?
They're like powdered milk, I guess, or powdered like cocoa.
It's a Western cocoa tea. Quick.
Basically, and it has exactly. all the vitamins all the,
and nutrients.
And nutrients.
Make it nice and strong.
Nice and strong. Fatten you up, right?
Yeah. I love me some Milo. To this day, I have my little Milo moment.
So. I love Milo. Milo is so good.
All right. So we're going to move into the actual topic. That was fun.
That was fun. Thank you for that.
For sharing. Mm-hmm. Hopefully y'all learned some things and you can reminisce on your childhood. Maybe you were triggered. Maybe you weren't. I'm sorry. Maybe I should put a trigger warning, especially about like...
No doilies.
That's my trigger.
That's your trigger? Yeah. Okay. So whenever we're going to talk about the doilies or the rowdy.
Oh, seriously, like
we say trigger. But so today we're gonna continue off of our conversation from the first episode, and I think it's really cool because Jerry and I we were born in the same year, same mm-hmm. generation, and my tante. You know, she is young and beautiful and black and not that much older than I am, but she definitely has some more experiences than I do. And I think it's important that we have a conversation and sort of make these connections between these two generations. So can you tell the people what generation you're from, Auntie? How would you describe your generation?
I guess I'll be first, right? In a sense, because... Right. Yeah. I come from, both my parents are West Indian born, and growing up in that household, it was pretty much, I was the only one that was born here. And, you know, my sisters, everyone was born in the Caribbean. It was, you know, it could be a bit challenging because at times the culture shifts. So, you know, it was like more so, for example, like discipline wise, you know, we talked about that earlier, the broom, whatever it was, you know, but I also feel like, you know, anyone who would hear that, obviously here in this day and age, it would say it's abuse. But it was like a normal for us. And I feel like, not that our parents are trying to, like, you know, abuse us, but that's all they know. So I look at it in a sense of, yeah, that happened. I can laugh about it now. But if that's what they were doing to me, what did they have to endure? You know what I mean? And I've heard stories. So when we sit down and we laugh and we joke about it, my mom would be like, well, you crying for that? You don't want to hear what happened to me. So it makes me think, what did her mother get, you know? So it's like a generational thing, I think. It was a lot of, now that I'm older, I can make more sense of it compared to before. So the discipline was one thing. Another thing I would say is like the expectations coming from West Indian parents. I feel like they do want the best for us. However, I think we touched on that, too, as far as, like, the expectations in the first episode. I feel as if it's wholeheartedly them wanting us to do good. However, they want us to... They're living their lives through us, in a sense. Yeah. And even with the whole, like... I come from an era where it was pretty much you go to school, graduate, go to college. Excuse me. And that was something, not that I didn't struggle with it, but at 18, you don't know what you really want to do long term yet. Well, I didn't, speaking for myself. I was kind of up in the air, but I always had that spirit of being my own boss, even at a young age. So, you know, it would, when you're trying to figure out what you're doing at 18, but you're being pressured in a sense from your parents as to what they see, how they see your future and how it should go, it kind of puts you, well, okay, I want to do this, but I got to please them. So that was pretty much my situation. And I struggled with that for years, being torn, all right, I'm going to college. I don't regret going to college. It still helped me out to be, you know, where I am now. But I feel like I'm not where I want to be career-wise because I didn't start early
with what you wanted to do.
My goals, right. So that's something that even with my son now, I'm trying to show him. He has the same type of drive as I did. So I'm trying to... be more supportive. And, you know, of course, college is there. I would always say go to college. You need to get that. Look, but I feel like if he wanted to branch out and do something else, I'm still not going to be like, whoa, you know, down his throat.
Right.
So I think that's the thing. I feel like they will support us, but it has to be according to what they want us to do. And I talking to my friends and my families who are the same age or near my age, that was something that we all could agree on, you know, coming from a household with full, strict West Indian parents. And, you know, it was tough. And I think that at this day and age, like, you guys are spreading awareness with certain things. I think, like you said, we have to do better. Is it always easy? No. But I feel like me experiencing that, and like I said, still struggling and trying to get where I want to be, I don't want that for him. So that was one thing. Well, one of many things that I had to endure. Also boundaries, which mm-hmm. I think you could relate on.
Yeah.
Well, there's no such thing as boundaries, you know.
Because that?
Right,
we still trying to figure
father,
it out.
Yeah, like he will take the door down off the bedroom. He doesn't care. Like he'll mm-hmm. take it off, and you'll sit here, and it's just like. But that's also, I feel like now that I'm a mother, I kind of get it, but I still feel like, of course, I'm not gonna have my kids do what they want to do, but I still feel like they need some type of privacy, right. And that's where it gets tricky, especially in this day and age, because this generation is so much
social
different
media.
Than
yeah.
right
yeah,
you know so you still have to, of course, allow them to have their sense of privacy, however you still have to monitor in a sense. So is it easy? No, it's very hard, because you tend to overstep at times, not realizing. It's a combination of you trying to be protective for your child versus what you had experienced and trying not to put on them. So mm-hmm. that's the struggle that I struggle with. But, you know, it's just a work in progress, day by day type of yeah. thing, you know?
Yeah, I think something that happens too, right? If you think about generations, and I think what happens is that every generation should be getting better as it grows, mm-hmm. right? So something that you said earlier on, right, is that your mother was like, oh, I had it worse. Like, mm-hmm. you're crying over that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I think the important part is maybe she might not have done it the best way, but she most likely identified, like, maybe I should do it differently.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it happens with each generation. So, like, it comes to you, and now with your two boys, right? Now mm-hmm. you're like, let me do this differently.
Definitely. Yeah.
Because
right.
this didn't work for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what's important, right? First of all, giving yourself grace when you make those mistakes, because mm-hmm. I think it's important to understand that a lot of these patterns and behaviors, they're ingrained and they are learned.
Learned behavior, yeah, right.
They're all learned.
Mm-hmm.
And they're passed down from generation to generation. But the key is to identify it, acknowledge it, and be like, okay, this feels familiar. I know I didn't like this when right. I was a kid, right. when it happened to be. So let me pause and pivot mm-hmm. and do it differently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think with every generation, and so, like, maybe there's some things that you wish you would have done differently, but then, you know, 10, 20 years from now, I don't want to think about that, but when your sons, you know, have families of their oh, own, God. You know, they can look back and be like, yo, mama was crazy, though. Yeah.
Trust me, they will say that, regardless, especially my oldest.
Yeah.
Like, he, yeah.
Yeah, but, yeah. But think back on that, and he'll be different.
Mm-hmm.
He'll do it differently.
Mm-hmm.
And it should be getting better mm-hmm. and better. And that's, I think, the beauty of transformation.
Yeah,
and that's
definitely.
What should be happening.
And that's exactly what I do, what you mentioned. Like, I, you know, in the beginning, it was a struggle. But now that he's older, like, I think when he hit, like, the teenage years,
mm-hmm.
that's where I'm able to say I had to start putting myself in his shoes and looking back at me at 13, 14, 15. Like, how did I feel when my parents did that? So, and I feel like that's very important, because especially in this day and age, you don't want your child or children to stray away from you. You have to have that relationship and be open with them.
Yeah.
So to me, that's far more important, because when they shut down, they shut down. Like, I feel like this generation, I don't know what it is with, like, the emotional part of it. They can't cope emotionally. Like, I feel they struggle. Like, we have struggles emotionally, and we all go through that. But I feel like they really struggle with that. Like, hearing stories in the schools and my friends who are teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I feel like that's even more important as to why you have to be more in tune with your kid. Like, all the craziness you see now, like, you know, like, me and my son talk about everything. Like, we bump heads a lot, but he'll talk to me about sex, anything. And I can
I
do
that.
That. Yeah,
oh,
it's a lot.
No.
Like, yeah, like, but you know what?
To have that open,
don't get me wrong, it was very awkward. Certain things we talk about, it still is awkward, but I love the fact that he's not shy to come. Like,
yeah.
Things he come to me, I'm like, if I would have come to my father with that, with that shit, like, sex, what? You know, like, should be
immaculate,
like, oh,
conception.
Yeah.
That's what
immaculate.
Happens.
Immaculate. Yeah,
Jane the
sex.
Virgin.
Yes. Like, what? Yes, yes. And I'm like, no, I would never have that. But you see,
that's another word for
right. that. But that forces you to go out now and learn on your own, which is not always going to be a good thing.
Yeah.
And that's what mm-hmm. I think my generation had to experience.
You're right. Because I'm thinking about how, like, my mom had to talk with me. There was no talk.
There was no talk.
Same here.
We didn't have no talk.
I remember she took me to a library and was, I was, like, getting my period. And she took me to a library. She took out a book. She made it believe, like, she was actually going to the library for something.
Right.
And then she took a book out. It was about, like, growing boobs and, like, menstruation and all that stuff.
Right.
And then she was like, here, read this.
Yeah, but there was no dialogue.
There was no dialogue.
Right, and that's what I think is very important. The dialogue, the conversation piece is what's missing from our generation or my generation. And, you know, and I feel like this is why, you know, kids or teenagers or young adults often learn the hard way because they don't have that, you know. So I feel like if he's open to come to me, I'll be sitting here lying if I said I didn't cringe when he comes to me certain things, but I have to put the poker face on. I'm like, yeah, you know, and I'm very black and white with him. Like, I don't really sugarcoat anything. Mm-hmm. So, and I think that's very important too. He's a teenager.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I can't say Santa Claus is real anymore. Like, things like that. I have to be very frank with him. So,
yeah,
you know, weird things happen. And I didn't realize how real it was until my son became a young teenager. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, this is weird. Oh, talk to him. And I have my husband talk to him, and I'm like, I can't.
Yeah.
So, but I had to get used to that, you know?
And I think that's great that, you know, he has another male figure to have those conversations with, because, you know, there's a lot of conversations, especially about black men and about how, you know, men in general also, like, they've been socialized to hide emotions and not talk about emotions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I guess, like, for your son, if he's feeling a certain way, he may not know how to articulate it because they've been socialized to hold it all in and don't cry and, you know, get over it. Like, just leave it alone.
Even you just brought me back to another piece. Like, that's one thing that that always stuck out to me, like, growing up. You couldn't express yourself.
Oh, man. What?
And sometimes it's not even about you being disrespectful, but anything you said was you being disrespectful. If you're just... because and what happens if you're a... because I'm a passionate person. So I have to get my point across. Very passionate.
Oh, I didn't know this.
FYI. You know, and it's like... so if you're passionate on top of wanting to get your point across, that can make you very, like... you know... unbalanced, and it's like I couldn't say things. So that's one thing, because my son, in the beginning, I was doing the same thing. I don't want to hear it. You're being rude. You know, you have to. So until I started seeing him being angry and realizing that I was very angry growing up and not realizing it until I became a young adult, I had to fix that shit. Like, you know, so I'm like, you know what, Shauna, cut the BS. He has to get it out. So that's how I learned, because I recall myself being very angry, and you'll be surprised just being able to articulate certain things and getting things off your chest. You know how that feels. You feel like a whole new person.
So, much better.
So I'm like, okay, Shauna, how did you feel once again when you were that age and you couldn't express yourself? So I had to stop. So I started letting him speak, you know, letting him get his point across, whether he was wrong or not. And once he got it out, he's able to receive me telling him, okay, this is why you're wrong. And this is why you can't do so and so. And I'm not saying there was always a, you know, okie dokie after that, but he understood. And he felt better because he got it out. So that was something. And I think a lot of people in my generation grew up very angry, like, because we, simple things like that. So you already know that when your mother says, oh, your father says X, Y, Z, you can't respond. Doesn't have to be, you know, in a rude way, but you can't respond.
You just can't respond. Yeah.
That's the messed up part about the culture. Yeah, like I tell my son all the time, it's not about what you say, it's how you say it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's what's so important, especially, I think it happens in our generation too, like, especially the silencing is something that we spoke about, is, like, to be validated about your feelings is, like, the most, like, you feel good about yourself. And I think when you start validating your children from the beginning, right, you're instilling confidence in themselves, and it's something that they'll carry in every relationship.
Yep.
And that's how you start to build emotionally healthy people.
Yeah.
Yep.
Versus like what you said, versus saying, no, I don't want to hear it. And I think that's the response when a parent is stuck, when they don't know how to respond.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So yeah, I definitely like mm-hmm. totally relate to that.
I relate to that too. Yeah. That's actually when how I ended up getting into journaling. Mm. Because to me, that was my outlet mm-hmm. as a teenager. I didn't have anything else because I couldn't say anything.
Right, right.
So I and you're right. Like I had a lot of anger, mm-hmm. tense of anger in me. So I would just write down everything.
Yeah, everything. Yeah, and
it was cathartic, and it's great because it's like you can say what you want to say, and nobody's gonna judge you. Right. Nobody's talking back to you. You don't mm-hmm. have to hear someone say like, okay, you're being rude or disrespectful, so be quiet. Like you right. get to just get out what it is that you want to feel, and it yeah. was the greatest thing mm-hmm. ever. Yeah,
and that's why some of our parents are very angry too. Like you see like a lot of, you know, people need anger management and they're not even aware of it. It starts from
yeah.
them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, just not being able to say what you want to say. It's like it's crazy, but yep, years and years of that will turn into you being irate, and then when you get older
or depressed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you know, West Indians don't believe in depression.
Right.
Right. Or anxiety. Or
pray to Jesus.
Right, you pray yeah. to Jesus.
And I'm big on that too. Right. But I also feel like praying, but you still need that clinical side of it as well. Like mm-hmm. that's, yeah. mm-hmm. you know.
They can coexist.
Yeah. Exactly. You can have
need
both.
The same you way how if both. You get hit by a car, you're going to pray for the person, but they have to go to the hospital, right? I'm just saying.
Legit. No, you can't pray and the leg won't just snap.
Right. You know, you still got to get, you know.
Medical attention.
Right.
Yeah. yeah.
So it's like, but that's the culture. Everything is, you know, just pray on it and hush, hush, leave it alone. And yep.
yeah.
Yeah. And it's about, again, this conversation about shame and mm. even the conversations about sex. Like, oftentimes I think people are so bashful about it, yeah. but it's like, it's a natural thing mm-hmm. and you're making it weird.
It's you.
Yeah. You're making it weird. And right. In the reality of it, you don't. And I had to look at it in that sense, too, because I'm not going to lie. The initial talk I had with my son was weird. Mm-hmm. But I'm looking at it like, listen, this is a whole other generation. I don't need him going out experimenting, catching anybody's STD or even worse.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you have to be real, because yeah. if he's not educated, what's going to happen when these kids go out there and start experimenting and doing foolish things? So
true.
Don't get me wrong, I had to put the fear in him. I had my little pictures and made him, you know, pass out almost, but that comes with it. But he knew. Yeah. Right. I don't want to be a grandma in my 30s. Give me a break.
So talk to me about, like, what was, for the both of you, what was your turning point when you realized, like, something's off?
In what sense?
Like, internally, like, so both of you speak of like this turning point where you notice like something wasn't right, like you notice like the challenges with your parents and mm. the dynamics with your parents, and it sounds like there was this light bulb moment for the both of you when it was just like, all right, something needs to change. I don't want to be like them. Mm. They're great and lovely uh-huh. people, but I want to be different. What was that moment for
I
you?
I think for me it was like when I became a young adult and a mom, becoming a mom early kind of opened my eyes a lot mm-hmm. because I started seeing myself repeating certain patterns and seeing no progression. And mm. I had to say, okay, I have to address this differently. I can't do it like that. You know, so for me, that was what it was. And even before I became a mom, I knew something was wrong, but at the same time, it's my normal. So yeah. it was kind of like, you're off, but let's just go with it and see, you know. Mm-hmm. That right, but the light bulb for me was having a child and not mm-hmm. wanting to repeat certain patterns of learned behavior.
Yeah,
that I observed.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if I had a moment in particular. I've kind of always been the one to push back on things. Mm-hmm. I've always been that person. I get that from my dad, I think, mm-hmm. and my mom too, to some extent. But like, I've always been the one, like, questioning things, like, why do you do things like that? Mm-hmm. Or, like, why is it this way? Who says it has to be this way? Always right. questioning, like, authority and stuff mm-hmm. like that. I would say, though, in terms of knowing that I wanted to do it differently, I think I've always had that sense, because just growing up, like, it was very tough
mm-hmm.
for
mm-hmm.
me trying to acclimate to, like, the discipline part, the not being able to express yourself part, mm-hmm. not the strict control and behavior, which came from a good place and had good intentions, and there were some good to it, but there were also some very negative parts of that also. And mm-hmm. being able to acknowledge both of that and hold those two truths at the same time was also something I had mm-hmm. to learn how to mm-hmm. do. But I think for me, there came to a point where I was just like, I don't want to be like this. Like, I was very angry.
Mm-hmm.
I was writing down everything. I didn't feel like I could actually talk out like how I was feeling or express how I was feeling to my parents. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't want that kind of relationship when I have children. Yeah. Like, I want to be able to have a relationship. Like, I look at Jada and Will and Willow, right? Mm-hmm. On their show Red Table Talk. And I'm like, man, every week I'm like, I wish I could have conversations mm-hmm. like that. Yeah. With my mom that's like so open, or with my parents that's so open. But you learn how to, you learn what you can't talk right. to your parents about, and yeah. you learn what you can. And that was, for me, it was, that was setting that boundary. I was like, okay, I know I cannot have a conversation about you with this. I have mm-hmm. to get this conversation with from somebody outside. Else, or that support from somebody else. Mm-hmm. But I know I can talk to you about these certain things, and that's what I'm going to come to you with and trying to.
And I think that's line. Where it could go like left mm-hmm. in terms of, going out and outside of the household, you need to, is not a problem.
Yeah.
But what if the person who's giving you guidance isn't a good person?
Isn't a good person.
So
yes.
I think that's where a lot of our youth stray as well. Like, if you can't, like I said, back to me and my son, I have yeah. to keep that open relationship with him, because if he goes outside and talks to the wrong idiot,
right,
then that right. what happens next, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know.
It's true. I think also having balance, like, for so, like, my mom was usually the one that was the disciplinarian. Mm. My dad was very different. Like, he's like him, I could have a conversation with about certain things.
Oh, okay.
About, you know, so I had that balance, which was good. Like, I had that balance mm-hmm. with him, which was really nice. And like with my mom, there's certain, like, as she's gotten older, mm-hmm. like now the dynamics have changed and it's shifted. Like,
I'm grown.
So yeah. So like, it's like, I feel like if when I have children, mm-hmm. how I experienced her is going to be very different from how they is. Will experience her. Because I'm going to mm-hmm. be like, is this the same person?
Mm-hmm. Trust me, it is. Because I sit back in amazement, like, wow.
But that's what happens, so too. Like, when people with siblings, when they say, like, their younger brother, yeah. younger sister, younger sibling came along, and then all of a sudden the parent is, like, super lenient all of a sudden.
That's why I couldn't stand you. Like... I'm gonna keep it a real 100. Like,
wow.
I was so, like, you were talking about me.
Shots fired.
No, but like, it's a good example, because like, you came out of, you know, you were born, and I'm like, why is she here? And
why is she here?
And we're like 9 years apart. So it's like, I was just like, why is she being so nice to her? Like, why, you know? So it's like, you were like my little fake sister in a sense, because I was jealous. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, she's so pretty. And yeah. I'm like, shut up. Like, yeah, I was in my feelings.
But she definitely was.
She felt yes. that. She felt some type of way.
Like, oh, she got kind of so cute. I'm like, all right, let's wrap it up. Throw her away.
Oh, my God. Throw the whole person away.
Right, throw the whole person
hey
away.
Hey, now.
Yeah, I was in my feelings.
We're getting off topic. But yeah, did you get it all out now?
Yeah, I feel better.
Okay.
Just had to put it out there.
I think for me, I grew up in a single parent household, and mm-hmm. I definitely experienced the silencing part for sure. Mm-hmm. And I'd never had the space to like speak out for myself. It was just, and it felt normal too. I think after a point, it just mm-hmm. felt like, this is what this is. You don't speak back, you don't talk back, mm-hmm. and you just go with the flow. And I noticed it became problematic when I started high school and I started to get more friends and being more engaging and active. And it was weird because it felt like every person that I met or any person that I brought into my circle was a threat. Mm. And it was just like, oh, don't, why are you trusting that person? Don't trust this person. Don't mm-hmm. be with this person. What's interesting, too, is that when parents, right, parents are bringing in their own personal baggage with yes. them when mm-hmm. they are taking care of and raising children. And if your parent sees the world yep. as this fearful place, eventually they pass that down to their children, mm-hmm. and then their child sees the world as a fearful place mm-hmm. as well. And for me, like, I felt like the world was scary because, mm-hmm. according to my mom, the world is
she
scary.
She painted that picture for
she
you.
She painted yeah. this picture. Right. And it was just like, oh, my God, I'm so fearful of everything. And I carried that fear from the home into, like, my relationships with people. And even, too, in my adult life in some ways, like, going into the workplace, it just always felt like I was mm-hmm. on walking on eggshells with everyone, because mm. it was just like, no, you can't talk back to authority. And it wasn't necessarily talking back. I was never a disrespectful person, mm-hmm. but it was like, you can't speak freely because mm-hmm. there's consequences yeah. to doing that. Yeah. And yeah. that stemmed from my relationship with my mother.
And to be honest, I think that culture, especially in the corporate world, that's the culture there across the board. But it didn't help, like you said, that mm-hmm. you had that baggage
right,
already.
Right.
And yeah, like our parents paint that picture for us. And I'm not going to lie, I struggle with that too with my son because he's at that age. He's a teenager now. And I can be a bit overprotective. And it's scary, you know? But mm-hmm. I think there's levels to it in a sense. It can't just be like, I don't want you to do anything and that's it. Like, I think that's what the issue is too. Like, growing up, all I heard was no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're not going. Mm-hmm. And oh, you're not doing this. Or you can't have this. But no. So what I do differently is, you know, now that I'm older, I can understand the fear of being a parent and your child going, not coming back home. Things happen.
Yeah.
So what I do is I let him know, okay, he has his freedom to a certain level, but I will say no. And this is why.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And to be honest, I think... what they struggle with, they're not really honest with their feelings. They don't want to say, well, I tell my son, listen, I'm scared. I don't want you to go out at this, you know, to this, whatever.
Right.
And this is why.
Because
right. I need him to understand, you know?
Right.
So that was my, I think he will receive it differently versus a no. Go sit down.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But that's all I got.
Right.
Right. Right. Well. There was no explaining.
There's
right.
no explaining, and that's the difference.
Right. And,
sure.
and that's an example of doing, you know, not repeating and breaking the curse. You can't just do that because, just like I said, this generation, they interpret things so differently. So it's like, I think me getting a hard no, I can take that better than him getting, you know, it's different.
It's
so
different.
I always let him know, you know, it's a no, or I'm upset because of this. So he doesn't internalize things bigger than what they are.
Yeah.
I think it's an interesting point that you bring up too about like this generation, right? So this generation is like Generation Z.
Mm-hmm. Crazy.
And...
yeah,
they're the Z and the crazy.
yeah.
And for them, like, you have to explain everything.
Yeah.
They want an answer for everything, and they do not back down from authority.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's so interesting, like, how
the dynamics
played out and shift, right? Because if you are coming up against a parent who is so used to just being like, no, and that's it, and you're a child that's like, but I need answers.
Yeah.
Gonna, yeah.
Like, that's,
it's
to me,
clash.
Sounds like it's going to be a clash.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that also forces you as a parent to pivot because you're just like, okay, this isn't working.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So how do I, as a parent, begin to shift
and that's really
make
it what
work.
It was for me. I had to just do things differently because I started seeing in him things in me. So that mm-hmm. was like my motivation already. I'm like, all right.
Well, you made yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. You know?
You made yourself.
I can't. But like things like that. And one thing I wanted to bring up that you guys discussed in the first episode was as far as like your parents, you're basically like the family divides when they have an issue and it becomes your issue, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I was, we had to talk about this the other day too. I was mm-hmm. saying to him, I was telling Raquel, I'm like, you know, I kind of, now that I'm older, I'm in the middle with it.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I am is because, like, I experienced that in our family. Like, you know, if Auntie so-and-so don't talk to so-and-so, you can't go over there and this and that and third.
Right.
And I think that's messed up because even with, like, friends, I feel like if our kids are already family or grew up together or close friends or whatever, our issue shouldn't affect their relationship.
Yeah.
So we should be, aside from being family, we should be mature enough to be cordial to the point where they can still coexist
mm-hmm,
and be friends.
Right.
But unfortunately, in our culture, that's something that, like, you know, separates us. Because I experienced that one of my cousins. Like, we were divided for a long time, and we didn't reconnect until we got older. And I just think it's really foolish. However, comma, I also think it's levels to it. And the reason why I say that now is because it just so happened I'm experiencing that with a family member now
mm-hmm.
and, you know, mm-hmm. who's just feeling in their feelings. And it's just like, all right, you feel how you feel. I feel how I feel. But I feel like because of a situation that we have, you're upset because I have a relationship with one of your kids who I knew it from, you know, being a baby.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like, and it's so weird because there's no reason for you to be mad that me and your child has a relationship like we always had. If anything, you should be happy that although we have differences, I'm still loving your child the same and treating your child the same. It's kind of sad because you feel like because we're at odds, I'm going to take your child and turn him against you. But now, because I see how you, like, I see where you're at, where your thoughts are, how you think of me. Now I'm looking at you like, if you had that chance, would you do that with my son? Mm. So in that case, that's why I say it's levels to it. Now I'm not comfortable with you being around my son. So yeah, I'm going to keep him away now, because for you, us to be at this age we're at and you're thinking like that, I'm not comfortable with him being around you like he used to. So in that case, yeah, it's going to be a shift. It's going to be a division, because, and I feel in those cases it's valid versus me saying, well, I don't like you, so my son ain't coming to your house no more. That's messed up, you know? So it's to me, I think it's two sides of it. And I think because I have a child, you know, I have kids. So I think you're going to protect your cup.
I think that's exactly what I was thinking of when you were talking, because I reflect a lot on my family as well and those divisions, and a lot of it I realize stem from my mom trying to be protective. Like that's where it all comes from.
That's
her,
what it is.
In her head, like to me, it from the outside looking in, I'm just like, why does it have to be like this? But to her, it's like, no, I'm trying to protect you. And even if it's from your own blood relative, no. I will do that because I love you and I'm trying to protect you and I'm trying to keep this together. Like, you're all I have.
Right.
And I'm like, at the end of the day, like, you don't get it as a child. You're
like,
just like,
I want to play with my cousin. Like, you know,
a child doesn't understand that. But as an adult, but it's like, well, how can I argue with that? Especially if, with that mindset, as we were talking about, if you have that perspective of the world is not a good place, you can't trust anybody. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you can't even trust your own family.
But you see, and I think that's the thing that the older folks do.
Yeah.
I think they expose the kids too much in the conversations as far as, well, like, end of the day, if me and Auntie so-and-so aren't friends, my child wouldn't know that. Like, even the family member I'm talking about now, my son doesn't have no clue. That's how it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. But versus where they're all involved and they know, you know, you don't like her. It's, to me, that's just foolishness. I just feel like, why can't we still coexist and be a family for the kids' sake? Like, you don't have to be best friends, but, like, you know, so it's like, but you're right. The majority of it is them being protection.
Yeah.
And but the thing, the downside to it is they don't know how to do it where it's not affecting you.
Because
you're not going to understand it as a child.
Exactly.
They don't talk to you. They don't explain to you why.
Exactly.
If my mom says, you know, well, Shauna XYZ, this is the case. Well, that's why I didn't want. I'll probably still be mad that I can't do certain things, but I would get it.
You would get it.
But now you're going to internalize it. Like, what? Like, did I do something wrong? And why is she acting like that?
Right.
It's the, like I said, it's the conversation piece is the missing piece in a lot of these issues.
It's so true.
So I'm going to push it back a little bit, right? Devil's advocate. So if, you know, if the conversation is what's missing, has there ever been a conversation with the family member that there's a tension with?
In my situation, you mean?
Or just in general?
Well, no. And that's what the issue is. Because it's messed up, because I feel like, especially right now, we shouldn't be going through this if we're trying to bridge the gap and do better. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I feel like we're mimicking what our parents are doing.
Right.
So the conversation piece is missing. I'm open for the conversation piece, but I can't force you. Mm. So now you're living in turmoil and being upset and anguish and for your feelings that you can't get over because you don't want to have a conversation. And sometimes it's a silly thing. And one thing I must say, growing up West Indian, it's like the beef is about foolishness. It's never of nothing of substance. It's always like, well, she knew I was wearing pink and she put on pink too. And I'm like, y'all really not talking for 10 years because, like, really? It's about, and that's the sad part of it. So you have these kids ripping these kids out each other's lives. Because she took my doily design. Like, it's just foolishness. And that makes it even more sad. Like, you know, it's crazy.
And some of these things can be resolved from a conversation.
Right.
Yeah.
And back to something that you said, Auntie, it's so important, right, is that if you don't articulate, like, just be vulnerable and say, I feel this.
Yeah.
This made me sad.
Yeah.
Like, on a human level, like,
it's the
so
pride.
Many
but they don't, that's it's the pride. So they won't do that.
It's the pride. Because my mother, our parents will never say sorry.
No. But I would say, too, like, it sounds like you also have the tools in order to do that.
Right.
You know? And that's something that I don't think our parents had. Like,
they didn't
have the tools to to be like, I'm going to talk this out, or I'm going to be vulnerable and say exactly how I feel they versus putting up a wall or using that defense mechanism of I'm going to beat you. You know, like,
right.
They don't have the tools to,
yeah,
to
I'm gonna
do
beat
that.
You. You're not going anywhere.
You're not doing anything.
Like, even what you said
go in your room and cry.
Right. like, your mom has a valid reason. She's protecting you. She loves you. She wants you. But she doesn't know how to
do that in a different way.
Right.
And I will say, like, I was actually talking to a friend of mine the other day, too, about therapy. And I was like, I'm so happy about, like, our generation, especially, like, people of color, like, using therapy as a resource.
Definitely.
Because I wish that's something the older generation would consider doing. And I feel like that would help so much.
No, it would help a lot. And I see every day. And I'm like, yeah, but it's true.
I'm just imagining, like, a skit of, like, a West Indian woman in a therapy session.
Like, why are you asking me my blasted business? And all kind of stuff. Like, I could hear it now.
Oh, my God.
I ain't crazy.
Money is down
me about my childhood. Yes. I am a grown woman
now. I could beat my child if I want to beat my child. Like, all right. Session's over.
So first, let's talk about therapy and what it's meant to do. And
right. You know, but yeah, that's, yeah.
Also think they, in their minds, they think therapy is a space where you go in to talk shit about
yes.
them.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And
yes.
it's like,
you and sometimes
gonna,
it is. Shit. Like,
it is. It is sometimes.
Me, it was shit.
To get it out. Yeah, to totally get it out. But I think in their minds, they're just like, you need it because I did something wrong and I messed up. And that's when that pride comes back into the picture again. Mm-hmm. It's like, crazy. This isn't this. Or you're crazy. What's wrong with you?
That's all I heard. Like, that's what crazy people, you know. Like, it's like, what?
No.
Yeah. It's the ignorance behind it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's exactly it. Yeah. It's missing information. It's missing peace.
That's so true.
I'm still learning. I've gotten better, but it has affected me because I don't know when to react or when not to react at times, you know, like, you know, these kids get into different, I mean, my son is he's a good boy. He's great. But he's like, you always, because of what you see on TV, you always have that what if, you know, so you're always going to have to do an extra step. But I think that comes from the conversations. I think from having conversations, you know your child. So I know you don't know your child's lines. You know when he's not. So I have to just trust that everything I did up until having him until now, that he's going to apply in his life and not, you know, and kids are going to mess up. Like we had to mess up. I had to mess up to learn, you know. But it's like, it's hard to see your child going through anything. You know, like I said, I get it to some degree, protection. But the only difference is that I talk to him a lot, you know, and we argue, we go through all that stuff, but we have that bond. And the reason why I feel like it's effective, us talking, because we could have a issue when I butt heads and go back and forth, but in an hour, we're talking like nothing happened. Yeah. Whereas when I was vexing my parents, I was just not for weeks, you know, and that's not good.
Yeah. The silent treatment.
It's not good. As I feel like, right, you couldn't break me down. My guard is up. But with him, he'll be mad and we'll just getting Uber Eats and laughing an hour. Like, so that's like my reassurance. Like, it's effective what's happening, you know?
Yeah. I love that you use the word trust because I think that's, in reflecting on like these experiences with our parents, I think a lot of that is missing, the trust. And I think trust in both sides. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like there's a lack of trust of us, and then we also in turn don't trust them.
Right.
And to trust, right? To trust. And in your example, to trust your relationship with your son, to know that although we have a fallout, we will always come back and have that reassurance and have that. And I think that's so important for him. And especially just thinking about how beautiful that is. And when he grows up to have a relationship with his partner, and he knows, like, you know, we can have it out. We can have an argument. We can butt heads. But that doesn't mean that it's over.
Yeah, you know, it's a lot. And now that he's older, and it's so funny because I used to hear this before and be like, how could you say that? But, you know, I love my kids the same. But when you're first born, it's a different kind of bond because that was my first experience bringing a child into the world. It's a different type of situation. So it's very scary with things you see. You want the best for your kids. And I feel like although, you know, I may not agree with certain things, I have to let him out a little bit to experience certain things and come back to me and, you know, and he'll do that. If something happens, he'll come to me. Mm-hmm. And that's really important, too. Like,
come back.
Something happening and you're not being aware, You know, like, don't get me wrong, he won't tell me everything. Obviously, we all went through that. But for the, at the same time, I know for a fact something crazy happens. He's gonna let me know. No.
Sometimes just the way things are to be, yeah. Thank you, Mama, for the 9 months you carried me through all those pain and suffering. No one knows the pressure you bear, just only you. Give you all my love, oh yeah. Thank you, Mama, for the 9 months you carried me through all those pain and suffering. No one knows the pressure you bear, just only you. It's my words and my turn. Mama, I will never let you down. I'll never go away. I'll always be around.
You know, so why don't we go around and do, I like to do takeaways.
Takeaways.
Yes.
I'll say my takeaway is, and this is something that I always knew, but like it's been reaffirmed for me like through different scenarios and different experiences. But one takeaway that I'll say is that everybody has a context and a story, and that was very important for me to understand, just in terms of understanding my parents more and like their perspective more and why they do certain things, and as I may have experienced it as problematic, and they may have experienced it a different way. Like there's nothing wrong with holding those two truths at the same time, right? Like you can have your experience and do something, and then I can experience that same exact thing in a different way. And both of us could, it doesn't have to be wrong or right. It just is, because the way that we filter or look at the world is just different. And that's okay, you know? So I would say that, and just realizing that everyone has a story. Everyone has a reason for why they are the way they are and what has shaped them and why they do the things that they do. I think a lot of the times it's very easy to just get caught up in people's actions and not think past, like, okay, why are you acting like this? Or, like, where does this come from? Where does this stem from? And I think the more that we can try to delve into that, or at least try to empathize and try to understand it, it may not justify, like, their actions, but it definitely, I think, puts a lot of insight and will give that compassion, you know, towards other people. So that's something that's been helpful for me in terms of understanding my parents more and coming to a place of, like, y'all are crazy, but I still love y'all, but y'all did some crazy stuff. But you're still okay, and but I get why. I get it. Right. So, yeah.
My takeaway will be, I would say, pretty much breaking the generational curses and like doing things differently. And I find that people say that a lot. Let's break the, you know, the cliche generational curse, but they still repeat the same patterns. So I think that the issue is that they need to be more open, like we said, therapy. Some people know they need it and don't want to explore that option. So I think, and that's the only way for some people will be able to move forward and do things differently and really break the chain. So I think, like, being more open to certain things, like I said, I struggle with it. At times I still do, but just being more open to communicating more. If you haven't to fix, I think you have to fix yourself first before you could even move forward. Absolutely. And if that requires you going to therapy and sitting down and letting it all out, just to help you, or being treated however you have to be treated, just go that route. You're stunting yourself from moving forward or becoming who you really could become, and and repairing relationships and moving forward with life.
I definitely, the biggest takeaway for me is the importance of communication. Just saying what's on your mind, saying what you mean and mean what you say. And in every sphere that you enter, like, it's so important. And also, like, if you are someone who never really felt validated in their feelings when they were, you know, children, just understanding, like, your feelings are valid. And that's a process. That's something that takes a really long time, especially if you're in an environment that didn't foster that. It's important that you find places like therapy that validates that what you went through, what you felt, is true. And I think something, going back to what you said, Jerry, like, even though you might disagree with your parents or your caregivers or whoever, like, both things can exist. Both things can be true at the same time. There's no right or wrong. It's just different. And that's okay. And when you move through life beginning to understand that, then you, I think you can communicate so much better and clearer, and you're able to see the other side of anything, of any point of view. So, all right.
Yes, gals, yes.
Well, thank you, beautiful ladies. Also, I just want to take a minute. I'm going to be sort of sappy right now.
I felt that eye roll in my spirit. My water. Oh, Lord.
Auntie, just want to say I so appreciate you.
As you should. Nah.
You know, like, I texted you this a couple of weeks ago, but, you know, you're definitely, like, in the theme of breaking generational curses. Like, I've seen you do that for our family. Mm-hmm. And I definitely, like, appreciate it so much. And especially, like, first of all, you're married. And you're married to someone that you actually like.
Yeah. Yes, God.
And just seeing how you've built a family, you've built such a beautiful family, is something that I aspire to and something that I want for myself. And you made it possible. Like, I can look at you and be like, okay, that exists. And right. I can actually aspire and reach for that.
Oh, thank you.
So, yeah, I just wanted to give you a shout out.
You melted me. I melted.
Jerry, is always lovely to talk with you
thank you.
Listen to your wisdom. Doc cannot.
Yes.
Don't make me cry. You know I'm a thug.
Right? Come on now.
Let's go, thug tears.
Take her eyelash off. Come on now.
It's mascara.
Oh, all right, right now. You have good eyelashes. I haven't gotten any, so.
Oh, my God.
I got to buy mine.
I put mine too in the bottle.
Girl.
I just don't mascara.
Maybe she's born with it.
You know
maybe
what?
It's Jerry.
But you know what? I'm not with I can't. Girl, bye.
All right, y'all. Thank you for listening. This was another episode of Brooklyn and Sarasop. Hopefully you gained some wisdom from today's conversation. If you have anything you wanna offer, you know, post in the comments, hit me up on Instagram. My Instagram is Raquel L. Samuel. So you can definitely hit me up there and let me know what you think about the episode.
Okay.
One,
two, three. Y'all are stressing me out. Oh God, they're shooting now. Oh my God, I'm so confused.
Wait, I got one more. We be rocking you.
Oh my God, rocking. Yo,
rocking,
no lie. Every Saturday, like, I used to be in the kitchen. Like, why does he do that? Like, I feel like that was like a staple. Davin Levy. Like, he was just like, rocking you.
We were younger. A million echoes.
Yes.
I was like, all right,
we get it.
Right, we've been rocking. Davin
Levy,
you're
rocking
us. Great.
He is so.
Go rock yourself to
sleep. Rocking you. I'm done. Like, I'm signing off now for real life. He took it back.
All right, bye, y'all.
Bye.
107.5 WBLS, Davin Levy rocking you.